Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Acts chapter number 11. How many of you are not ashamed tonight to be called a Christian? Hallelujah. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Amen? Amen. I want to show you in the Word what you're saying when you profess to be a Christian. And we've been in this series on the Holy Spirit. In volume one, we dealt with the person and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. If you weren't here, I want to encourage you to get that. And now in volume two, I want us to deal with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look in Acts chapter 11. If you're there, say amen. We'll drop down to verse number 26. I'm just excited about this topic. I did a series years ago called The Anatomy of the Anointing. And I love to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is going to be beautiful. I just sense God blessing this already. Hallelujah. Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and had many programs. Oh, my bad. And taught much people. Hallelujah. And the disciples were called, help me, Christians first in Antioch. In light of what we've read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher, our leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment. I ask that you would bless their hearing. That your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. We read before the prayer in the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, verse number 26, for the sake of the recording, I want to go back and reread verse number 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called what? Christians first in Antioch. So if you want to know about your history as a Christian, Christians were first called Christians or Christians in a place called Antioch. Now, we say, if you profess Christ, we say that we are Christians. But I want you to know what you're saying when you say, I'm a Christian. Now, you might just kind of, you know, vaguely respond to that and say, well, I'm a follower of Christ. And that's good. Amen. We're followers of Christ. And you can't be a follower of Christ and not be a Christian, because that's the base of what it means to be a follower of Christ. But who is Christ? Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the anointed one. That's what he proclaimed himself to be in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse number 17. And when you look at the word Christ, or you look at the word, or the root word to the word Christian, you find that it means anointed. So a Christian, though a follower of Christ, if you went to the root of the word Christ, or the root to the word anointing is discovered in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. That root word is charisma, or pronounced charisma, which means anointed. And it means something has been rubbed off on, something has been smeared on, painted on, anointed, like you would anoint yourself with oil, or you would anoint the chair with paint until it took on the color of that paint that you were rubbing on it, or the color of stain that you had put on natural wood. It takes on the color of whatever it is that you're anointing on it. And so when you talk about being a Christian, you are ultimately saying that I am an anointed one. That the anointing of Christ, I'm a follower of the anointed one, and the anointing that abides in him is on me. Now, it's very important here, and that's not an arrogant statement, so just stay with me. Because here in Acts 11, the disciples didn't go out and write a big sign on the church and said, "We are the first Christian church of Antioch." That word had actually not been used except to identify a pattern or a behavior or attributes that existed on these disciples. It's no different than John the Baptist. John the Baptist never called himself John the Baptist. John's name was John. And his name wasn't going to be John. And then God gave his daddy lockjaw until he would utter the word John, and his mouth opened and he spoke John, because God had already told Elizabeth and John's daddy that he would be named John. And he got lockjaw until he lined up with God. And so, but Baptist wasn't a part of the name. He was called John the Baptist by the observers, because everyone that came to him that brought fruits of repentance, he baptized. And so when you baptize everybody that comes to you in salvation, in faith, and you baptize, then he became known as the Baptist or the baptizer, because he baptized. People ask me all the time, say, "Y'all Baptist church? Baptize every month." Yes, sir. They baptized 300 last year. We as Baptists, we're probably more Baptists than some Baptists. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Man, I could have swore you was a Jehovah's Witness church." Yeah, we that too. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. We believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that. "Well, I'm leaving. I thought you were Church of Christ." Listen, we're Church of Christ, Church of God in Christ. We all those things. We're Christians. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see is that the disciples, because of their behavior, because of their personality, because of their characteristics and attributes, what was evident and seen on them, those that observed their behavior said they're Christians. They were tagging them with what they had seen in Christ. So everything they saw in Christ, they were now seeing in these disciples, except they now were more than one of them. And so instead of Christ, they were saying, "Hey, look at all those Christians. They all follow Christ." The word "follow" literally means mimic or to copy Christ. They were walking in the same behavior as Christ. Therefore, they were given the title Christian. Now, here's the question at hand. If we had no titles whatsoever, and someone else that observed you had to give you your title, would you be worthy of the title Christian? Would somebody that you work with or in your family looking at you, would they say, "You are a Christian," not because you have an "I love Jesus" bumper sticker on the front bumper of your car, or back bumper. No, not because you wear an "I love Jesus" or "Allah Ta" t-shirt. Would they say that you were a Christian because of the behavior or the characteristics that they saw in your life? Because that's how that title was first tagged. It was by a behavior of the disciples that looked like Christ that caused those that saw them to say they're Christians. Now, let's talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you would, come with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And I want to go to the fourth chapter, where Jesus here declared that the Holy Spirit had anointed him, And I want to talk about what that means. I had a guy years and years ago, not too many years ago because I'm not that old, but it wasn't long ago, and he said, "You talk a lot about the anointing." He said, "I went and did a study. I can't find it in the New Testament." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Well, you talk a lot about the anointing. I don't really see it in the New Testament." And he said, "The only place I find it is 1 John 2.
I said, well, you got to go to the root of the word. How many times do you see the name Christ in the New Testament? Because every time you read Christ, you're reading about the anointed one and or his anointing. But see, here we are Christians that don't even know what Christ means. We think that's Jesus' last name when he filled out the application to work for his daddy's saw shop, you know, carpentry shop. Actually, it wasn't even wood, but anyway, more like stone. I don't want to mess you up. But anyway, when he filled out his application that he put last name, Christ, first name, Jesus. No, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is his identity. It is his prophetic office. He is the Christ. Old Testament, you would have said he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the sent one. Everybody understand that? So when you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus the anointed one. But you'll notice that when you read the New Testament, sometimes you read Jesus Christ, but sometimes you read Christ Jesus. And there is a difference because Christ Jesus can refer to the anointing of Jesus, whereas Jesus Christ is referring to Jesus the anointed one. I'm gonna say that again. Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one. Christ Jesus can refer to the anointing of Jesus. Let me simplify it. Jesus Christ is in heaven. Hallelujah. He ascended to the throne of God. Amen? Christ Jesus is in every believer. Do you see the difference? The anointing of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, lives in us. Get volume one of this series. If you've been born again, you were born again by the Spirit of God. There is no new birth without the Spirit of God. You cannot be born again except but by the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught that in John chapter 3. And so the Holy Spirit is present in us. Christ Jesus, the anointed one, is present in us. He called the Holy Spirit another comforter that he would send unto us that would be with us forever. That's the Holy Spirit present in the born-again believer. Now, hey, did you ever come up in life and have your mom or dad tell you to stop hanging around certain people because they were rubbing off on you? Have you ever been accused of, I can tell you've been hanging around with so-and-so because you done started cussing, smoking, dipping, and all that other stuff. And I ain't trying to make nobody mad. I just, first things I thought of, don't get mad. Well, I had to bring up dipping. Calm down. I'm just saying stuff, all right? So, you saying I'm going to dip my, I ain't got time to talk about your dipping. I just use that as an example. That when you hang around people, you end up walking in their habits. You start saying things they say. I've given this same story for many years teaching on the anointing. I came up, grew up, my parents took us to Toledo Bend just about every weekend, and the man that lived in the bait house down by the boat launch there where we stayed at Martinez Landing, the guy's name that ran the bait house was Uh-huh. That was his name, Uh-huh. I don't know what his real name, I don't know what his mama named him, but everybody called him Uh-Huh, and you wouldn't have been around him but 2 minutes and you'd have found out why they called him Uh-Huh. Because every time he said, uh-huh, you're them fishing by day, uh-huh. You want to get some minutes a day, about 5 pounds, uh-huh. Everything he said had an uh-huh with it. And so I would be around him all the time, hanging around the bait house. And the next thing I know, I come back saying, uh-huh. But I grew up in a house that you said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. That's where I was raised. You didn't say, yeah. You didn't say, no. You said, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. So we come back, come back up to the campsite, and my daddy would say something. I say, uh-huh. See, uh-huh done rubbed off on me. Uh-huh like to got me in trouble. I go to class on Monday morning, teacher asked me, what? Uh-huh, uh-huh. And I'd be like, oh, man, uh-huh, getting me in trouble because uh-huh was rubbing off on me. You can't hang around with, see, he's done rubbed off. Willie just said, uh-huh. So when mama said they're rubbing off on you, when mama said, quit hanging around that boy, he's rubbing off on you. Quit hanging around that girl, she's rubbing off on you. Guess what she was saying when she said they're rubbing off on you? They're anointing you. Because that's what the anointing means. It means to rub off on. And if we are to be true to the title Christian, that means Christ should have rubbed off on us. But how can Christ rub off on you when you're never around him, or you're never in fellowship with him. And so now there's no excuse for any believer not to operate in the anointing when the Holy Spirit lives in us, if we'll choose to be sensitive to his person and to his purpose, as we studied in volume one of this series. There's no reason why we shouldn't experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to show you in the Word what the anointing does, which is, remember I talked about in the latter part of volume one of this series, we talked about how the Holy Spirit's not an it, and the Holy Spirit's not, you wouldn't say he's a power or he is a force. He is a person that possesses power and possesses ability. Remember that last teaching? I think it was last week. Okay, so that the person of the Spirit of God has these attributes: wisdom, knowledge, power, strength. They're attributes. But you don't call the attribute the person. The person bears attributes. Remember that? I think I may have given the example. Y'all hit me if I'm wrong. But I may have given the example of your wife can really cook. That's an attribute. But you don't go around and introduce her to everybody as your cook. Oh, Lord. Right? You would say, yes, this is my cook. Even though she can cook, she knows how to do turnip greens and clean them before she cooks them and make sure they're young, like we talked about Sunday, and knows how to do some hot water cornbread. Just for the record, my wife can cook hot water cornbread. Sure, you're right. I don't care if she can't cook nothing else. That's enough. I can live off hot water cornbread. Man shall not live by hot water cornbread alone. It was a mistranslation in the King James. They left off the hot water. King James didn't have a revelation. But it was meant to be hot water cornbread alone. I ought to mess myself up by bringing that up now. But you wouldn't, your wife may be able to cook, but you don't introduce her as cook. And the Holy Spirit has many attributes, but we don't define him by those attributes or those characteristics. He is a person. However, the attributes that he rubs off on us, when he gives us an attribute, when he gives you a power or something that you did not have without the Holy Spirit, then that is an anointing. Come on, somebody. When the Holy Spirit gives you an ability, an endowment, power to do something or to live in a way that you did not have beforehand, then that is his anointing having rubbed off on you. Glory to God. Now, watch this in Luke chapter 4, and we'll look at it in verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Read this with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You can stop right there. That's the point I wanted you to see, is that here, when Jesus begins his ministry, and he had not started his ministry till this point, when he goes in this synagogue this day and opens the book. Now, it's important for you to recall volume one. What we looked at, there is a unique role. My goodness. There is a unique role. Thank you, Lord. There is a unique role that exists between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you cannot separate the two. That's why Jesus has tagged the Holy Spirit to the Spirit of truth. And in John 17:17, Jesus said, my word is truth. So the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of the Word. And since the very beginning, the Holy Spirit has worked in harmony with the Word of God. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was a manifestation of light that the Holy Spirit wrought when that word was declared. You'll see a pattern throughout the Bible that the Word and the Holy Spirit work in harmony. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 23:2. And the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was on my tongue. We find out that the men that penned God's word did it as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word himself, Jesus, came into the earth realm after the Holy Ghost came over Mary and anointed Mary and empowered Mary to conceive in her womb, her virgin womb, the seed of the Son of God. Jesus, the manifested Word. So there's a relationship between the Spirit and the Word. And I keep reiterating this, church, because there are many people today that miss that. And when you miss that, and you don't, listen, I can say it like this. If you try to identify God outside of his Word, you are susceptible to deception. I'm going to say it again. If you try to identify God outside the avenue of his word, you are susceptible to deception. Let's say today that I was going to tell you, we are the first church of God and no word. Then now I'm going to get up here and teach you about God with no word. What gives me the authority to tell you about a God based on my opinion or my natural knowledge? How could I tell you about God and increase your faith in God? No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So just like you don't know God outside his word, you don't know Jesus outside his word, and you cannot know the Holy Spirit outside his word. However, there are many people that want to teach on the Holy Spirit and do it without the Word. And that is dangerous ground, because now I have no way to test your teaching to see which Spirit you speak of when you take the Word of God out of the equation. You don't need to hear about Jesus, the Father, or the Spirit outside of this Word. This is the infallible Word of God that has given us everything we need to know about the Godhead bodily. And people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge, and people are destroyed because they have no knowledge, and they can't test the Spirit according to 1 John 4:1 because they have no knowledge of this written word. Jesus even said in John 5, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees challenged him, he said, look, I didn't come here to speak of myself. If I am my only witness, my witness is no good. He said, search the scriptures. They speak of me. Jesus challenged us to go to the Word and to see what the Word had to say about him. That is a pattern throughout the Bible, and you tread on dangerous ground when you try to come to know any person of the Godhead bodily outside of the written, infallible, unadulterated, uncut, pure Word of the living God. Well, I don't believe that the Bible still exists there. I just believe that it's all written by man. Okay, the God you want to put faith in, you don't think is big enough to have preserved his word so that this day I could have a copy of it. Do you think that 2,000 years of Christianity have come and gone, and Christ still is preached in this earth, and the gospel has still been preserved? Do you not accredit God for that? Do you not realize the God we serve is able to do what he promised that he would do? That he would preserve this word as long till after heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle of this word would fail. He has promised to preserve his word to every generation till heaven and earth are passed away. Why? Because without this word, I don't know who he is. Without this word, I become susceptible to man-made religion and false doctrine. So you don't need any topic of the faith separated from this word. This word is the foundation of your faith. Hallelujah. Now you may not believe that, but at least at this church, it is the foundation. You read the sign, didn't you, when you came in? Word of God Ministries. And if you don't know what Word of God means, it's the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Help me. Come on, somebody. Now, that's all the singing you're going to get out of me tonight. So Jesus, notice, opened the book in verse 17. Do you see it? And then declared, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How come he didn't just get up without a Bible, just get up without a Bible and say, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Notice that he opened the word when he declared it. He opened the word when he declared it. He opened the word and he read from the prophet Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's declaring that from the word of God. And then when they all looked at him, look what he said back in verse number 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is what? This scripture fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. And what he actually declared was Isaiah chapter number 60. Now I want to go back and look at that real quick. Turn with me to Isaiah. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah in the 61st chapter. I want you to see it here in verse number 1. Real quickly, because I got a lot left to show you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath what? Anointed me. So when the Spirit of God comes upon you, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, that is the anointing. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, that is the anointing. Personally, I don't know if I have, at least in recent years, I'd have to think way back. Maybe I didn't understand the anointing back that far. But I don't come to this pulpit or any pulpit, whether it's speaking at chapel, at the school, or any platform that the Lord gives me. I don't go into any platform that I don't ask the Lord to anoint me and to speak through me, and that His Spirit would would speak through me, and that His Word would be on my tongue. I need the anointing on me to deliver the Word of God, because the Word of God without the anointing is not going to have any power. And so whatever we do, if it's going to have power, and if it's going to make an effect on the kingdom, it can't come without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So let me show that to you. Go back to Isaiah 11. We'll go to chapter 10 first. Go to Isaiah 10. Isaiah chapter 10. Now let's look at what the anointing will do. Where does the anointing come from? The Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has done what? Okay, rubbed off on us, come up on us. He smeared on you an attribute you didn't have. He gave you something you didn't have. Come on, somebody. Amen. He gave you an ability you didn't have. He anointed you. Because you were surrendering to His person and purpose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You had been in fellowship, in harmony with Him. You know, Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means if the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit, then you can walk out of the Spirit. And you walk out of the Spirit when you walk in the flesh. And we've all done it. But walking in the flesh does not open up the anointing. Because when you're not in harmony with the Spirit's not going to rub off on you, just like that person that you've not been hanging around is not going to rub off on you when you're not around them. Now we say, you know, I gave the example of hanging around with the wrong people, the wrong stuff starts rubbing off on you, but I need to really turn that around. Hanging around the right people will get the right stuff rubbed off on you. Amen? You don't hang out with God and get afraid. You don't hang out with God and catch a cold. He don't have one. So you can't get from God what He doesn't have. You can't hang out with God and something foul get rubbed off on you. Is that making sense to you? Now watch this in Isaiah chapter 10. However, when the Holy Spirit rubs one of His attributes off on you, this is what you'll see. Isaiah 10, verse 27. Everybody there say amen. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. Imagine carrying something real heavy on your shoulder. You're carrying something real heavy on your shoulder. All right? So now that's a burden. It's a weight you're carrying on your shoulder. He said, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. A yoke was used, you know, like for an example, you could yoke two oxen together. And so you're being bound to something. You're being bound to something. You're yoked to something. He says, the burden shall be taken off thy shoulder and his yoke, watch this, from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be what? Destroyed. Why? Because of the anointing. So what does the anointing do? It removes burdens and destroys yokes. What does the anointing do? Say it. It removes burdens and it destroys yokes. So watch this. The anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Hey, the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. The thing that hindered me, the thing that hindered me is removed under the anointing. The thing that had me bound is broken under the anointing. Hallelujah. It is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God, and it comes from the Holy Spirit when he rubs off on us because we are engaged with his person and his purpose. Now notice that Jesus opened the word and declared from the word the scripture that promised that the anointing would rest upon him. And they looked back and they said, that's Joseph's son. And Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And he walked out of that synagogue and started casting out evil spirits. He started healing the sick. He started working miracles outside of them tagging him with Joseph's son. In other words, they're identifying him with the son of Joseph. Didn't stop the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God from using him as the son of God. And what you've been tagged with in your past and in your school and your limitations doesn't have to stop you from being who God has called you to be as a born-again believer, as a Christian, as a Christian. Where your natural is limited, his spiritual is unlimited. That's the anointing. When he rubs off me on me a power that removes my burdens and destroys my yokes, and now I'm able to do what he called me to do by his source, by his power in my life, that makes me a sent one into society versus a went one into society. Because I got the power to do what he sent me to do. Now I need to know, I don't know about you, but I want to come over one chapter, Isaiah 11. I need to know now, what are the anointings? Or what is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? You know, the book of Revelation, you may have read this. It's found in chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 5, and chapter 5, verse 6 of Revelation speaks of the seven spirits of God. You ever read that? The seven spirits of God. And you might read that like, man, there's a mistake in the Bible. Yep, there it is. It's seven spirits. I know any but one Holy Spirit. Well, let me help you. Those are the seven anointings of that one Spirit. The Holy Spirit has seven anointings. You say, how you know? Well, because I read it. I'm going to read to you right here. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who knows who that rod that came out of the stem of Jesse is? Jesus, and a branch, capital B branch, that Jesus shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Everybody say one. The Spirit of wisdom, say two. And understanding. Spirit of knowledge. And might. The Spirit, wait a minute, did I get that wrong? Boy, y'all were counting right and I was reading wrong. I've got to be more careful. So let me do it again. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits of God, or I could say the seven anointings of the Spirit of God. That means that when the Holy Spirit anoints you, it's going to come in one of those seven attributes, one of those seven facets or faces. So there are seven facets, seven faces, seven attributes to the Holy Spirit, and here they are. That means any one of those seven or more, you have the potential to walk in. Come on, somebody. You have in you right now the Spirit of the Lord. Hey, thank you, Jesus. That is what Jesus declared had anointed him in Luke 4:17. He tagged that anointing right there. Remember, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. And he said, has anointed me to what? To preach the gospel. So I don't need to be preaching the gospel without the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. That's one of the seven anointings that we need. And Jesus tagged that one as necessary if you were going to preach the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. But the Spirit of the Lord was not the only anointing available or that rested upon him or is available to us. Because there are seven. There's a heptatic structure throughout the Bible of sevens. And seven represents something being complete and something being made whole. And the word week just means anything that's made up of seven. Like you could have, we have a week of days, and that's 7 days. But if you had a week of years, that would be 7 years. And so a week just means that it is a total of seven. And seven is a number that means wholeness. So the Holy Spirit has seven anointings that make him up. Hallelujah. And those seven anointings are available to every one of us, and they can potentially be rubbed off on us so that, my God, you end up with wisdom you didn't have until he rubbed it off on you. Understanding that you didn't have until he gave it to you. Counsel that you didn't have until he gave it to you. Might, strength, power that you didn't have until he gave it to you. Knowledge that you didn't get from the elementary system. You didn't get it in middle school. You didn't get it at high school. He didn't get it at college. It's knowledge that comes from God that came to you through an anointing of the Spirit of God. And last but not least, the fear, the respect, the reverence for God is an anointing that comes by his Spirit. You have the potential, you and I have the potential to walk in any one or more of these anointings every single day of our life. Hallelujah. And if the Holy Spirit has anointed you, then we should see at least one of these. You say, well, darn. What you darning about? Well, I wanted the Lord to anoint me to sing so everybody would hear my solo. Well, if you want the Lord to anoint you to sing so that everybody can hear your solo, you need to sing so low we can't hear you because you're singing for the wrong reason. But does that not mean that God cannot anoint you to sing? No, God can anoint you to sing. And that anointing is any power or ability that you did not naturally have that comes through might. When you say, for an example, and you've said it, and sometimes you come in here and you may think that a message is complicated and, ooh, I never heard that, but you've been saying it all along. Philippians 4:13, for an example. When you've been saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What is Christ? The anointed one. So when you said, I can do all things through Christ, what you were really saying was, I can do all things through the anointing that strengthens me. Well, which anointing strengthens you? Go back and look there in Isaiah 11, verse 2, and find me the anointing that strengthens you. Which one is it? Might. So that was one of those seven anointings that actually strengthens you. Counsel doesn't necessarily strengthen you, not physically, but we see here that I'm strengthened by might. So when you've been saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, you've been saying this all along. I can do all things through the anointing that strengthens me. That means the Spirit of God can come upon your natural body and give you strength you didn't have. Your body limited, but under His anointing, empowered. I've seen it for years. I've seen it, individuals, single mama, working a job, going to school, raising three kids, all come to church, all dressed up, got the church shoes on, pigtails, looking all pretty. And like, my God, how do you do it all by yourself? And you hear them say, the Lord gives me strength. That one, did you sleep last night? I got about 2 hours early this morning. How did you do that? The Lord gives me strength. See, that is a might. That is anointing. But the body of Christ is not even going to walk worthy of the title it's been given when we walk ignorant that these anointings are available to us, and we go through life living substandard because we don't realize there is an ability that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. But we don't know how to go and put it on. We don't know how to get this power rubbed off on us. Yeah. Now let me show you how to do it. Because I can't go another further. Yeah. I can't go another further until I show you how to do it. So go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Amen. We walking around oppressed and depressed and in a mess and can't rest and living in a mess and trying to pass yet another test and all that other mess. And the greater ones on the inside of us grieving because we won't give Him any attention. We won't get in His word and speak life. Hey, oh my goodness, I'm about to break off into another song. We won't get into His word. And pull that anointing. If you got some kind of little something on your body, and the doctor said, look, you need to anoint that sore with this ointment 3 times a day, and in 7 days it'll be healed. You know good and well you would set your reminder. You would carry that stuff around in your pocket all the time, and you would say, oh man, I got to anoint my sore, because you want to get your victory. And we will take the natural ointments of this world. Dry skin, break out your lotion. You know, listen, my legs got all dry. I was in Dallas. What was happening in Dallas this week? But everybody in my family was all dry skin and sinuses all dry. I was like, my God, give me back to some Louisiana humidity. I can't breathe up here in Texas. And but you know, when you get dry, you rub some oil on you, rub some lotion on you, some 3-in-1 oil or some baby oil or some Pennzoil oil. I mean, you got it. You get my point. Well, those are natural examples of where you recognize my skin is dry. I've got a wound. I need an anointing. And you go and you pull that anointing and you rub it on you. But haven't you been in a day where you knew you needed the Spirit of God to anoint you to do something you couldn't do if He didn't give you any power to do it? You've got to pull that anointing. You've got to withdraw that anointing, like the woman did with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5 when she pressed in behind Jesus and touched the hem of His garment and pulled that anointing out. And Jesus said, hey, who touched me? And they said, Lord, everybody's touched. He said, no, somebody touched me. Somebody has withdrawn anointing out of me. And Jesus said this. He said, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. He said, I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. That means in the account of the anointing, Jesus sensed a withdrawal while that woman sensed a deposit. Hey, what you say? My God, we've got to start making a withdrawal from the Spirit of God and get it deposited on our flesh so it can make a difference in this life. Forgive me for preaching at a Bible study, but I done got myself fired up. Woo! I needed this word. Y'all think I'm preaching to you? I'm preaching to me. I needed this word. Woo! 1 Samuel chapter 10, you there, say amen. Make a withdrawal. We must make a withdrawal. Say that out loud. We must make a withdrawal. You got to know where the source is. Now, before you know, you give me all your sources, what was Jesus' source? The Word. Two of y'all answered that, and I know all of you knew it. I know y'all, all of you knew it. I know you did. You were just in a Selah moment. You were meditating. Jesus withdrew it from the Word. In Luke 4, he opened. Do you think the Word needed to open the Word? When Jesus opened the Word, that was the Word opening the Word. Do you think he needed to open that Word? Do you think that Jesus needed to open up the scroll to know what it said when he hears what it said? He didn't open that Word because he needed to open it because he didn't know what was in it. He was opening that Word because he's ever the example and he's always teaching, and he was showing you and I how to pull the anointing out of that Word by opening it up and declaring what it says about us. Hallelujah. I'm already excited about next Wednesday because I know where we're going from here, and I just can't hardly wait. This is, man, we need to do three services on Wednesday night, just like we do on Sunday morning. I can do part two, though. All right. Now watch this in 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil. Took what? Vial of oil. And poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath what? Anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the donkeys which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath lived. I don't even know if I can take this. This is going to be so good here in the next 3-4 minutes. I don't even know. I need some pulpit furniture. Please let me sit down. This right here. Church, wait till you see what's about to happen right now when you see this. Come on, somebody. Watch this right here. First of all, this is Samuel anointing Saul to be king. And God never wanted them to have a king, but if they were going to have one, at least he needed to have an anointed one. And he was profitable under the anointing. By 5 chapters later, he's lost it. But he was good under the anointing. Now, but what I need to tell you about Saul is that his daddy raised donkeys. Except in the King James Bible, it's not called a donkey. So when you read that word, and for the sake of the children, I'm not reading it like it reads, okay? But that's not cursing. That's what a donkey was. That's what is the right language is. Okay? The world messed the language up and made it something else. Because folks started acting like donkeys. And then every once in a while they'd try to act like a smart donkey. And then they acted like a stupid donkey. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I'll leave it at that. So he says he anoints Saul, who works for his daddy managing donkeys. Okay? And obviously, there are some that are lost. Have you ever been going to go do something, but you hadn't done what your mom and daddy told you to do, and you couldn't go do it until you had finished what they told you to do? Mom, I'm going down the street. Did you get that homework done? No, ma'am. Get the homework done, then you go down the street. Dad, I'm going to run to the move to go off so-and-so. Did you get them chores done? I only lack one thing. Get that one thing done. So imagine Saul here getting ready to go do what God called him to do, but he got two donkeys missing. This is good, church. You just got to stay with me. You just don't know how good it is yet. Hang on. He said, when you departed from me today, you're going to find two men by Rachel's sepulcher on the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the donkeys which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, the father hath left the care of the donkeys and sorrowed for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Under the anointing. Hallelujah. Under the call of God and the mandate on your life, he will seal up those things that are undone for you. He will seal up those things that are undone for you. Hallelujah. Verse 3, then shalt thou go on forward. Because you're not going to be watching donkeys all your life. Promotion comes under the anointing. And you can't go forward in the kingdom without it. Thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel. Beth, the second letter in the Hebrew language, Bet, which means house, and El, which means God. Bethel is the house of God. You're going to meet three men going up to God, to the house of God. One carrying three kids. That's not babies and Pampers. Those little lambs. And another carrying three loaves of bread. And another carrying a bottle of wine. So you've got the wine, you've got the bread, and you've got the lamb. That's who you're going to meet. You're going to meet the bread, the wine, and the lamb. That's a picture of Jesus. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come hither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets. A company of who? Prophets. Coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them. And they shall what? Prophesy means declare the word of God. So you're going to hear, you're going to receive communion, bread, the wine, the lamb. Go on forward, you're going to hear some prophecy. You're going to hear the word of God. Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come up on thee. And thou shalt prophesy with them. So the Spirit is present. The Word is present. And when the Spirit is present and you say what the Word says, that's what it meant, prophesy with them. That means whatever they say, you say it. Jesus did that in Isaiah. He prophesied with Isaiah. In Luke 4, Jesus prophesied with Isaiah. How did he do that? He opened up Isaiah and declared what Isaiah said. That's prophesying with the prophet. When you open up the Bible and say out loud what it says, you are prophesying with the prophet. So he tells Samuel, tells him here, he says, you're going to meet these prophets declaring the word of God. And when you hear them prophesy, you make sure and prophesy with them, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, read the rest, and shalt be turned into another man. When did his life change? When did his identity change? When did the attributes of his life and characteristics of his life and endowment and blessing and power on his life manifest? When, by the Spirit of God, when declaring the Word of God, anointed him to walk into in characteristic and nature and ability that he did not have without it. So all them folk that walk up to him, I know you. I don't forget, we graduated together. I know you. Say, look, you knew me. You knew me before the Word. You knew me before the Spirit. You knew me before I lived this way. And even if you have been in church, even if you call yourself having been in Christ, if you have never learned how to declare the written Word of God over your life, if you never knew that the Holy Spirit would anoint you based on that Word, then you yourself have not even experienced the power of walking in the nature of another man. Now listen, if you think about right now where you are in your life, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you need, the wisest thing you could do is get in this word. Find the promise of God and declare it out loud so that the Holy Spirit in you would say, amen, I agree. And to perform that, the Holy Spirit gives you an ability that you did not naturally have from your mother's womb, that you did not naturally gain through life. It was given to you by the Spirit of God. Listen, I went to Bible college and made an F in teaching Bible. Yes, Yours truly, James A. Believer McManus. James A. Bible Teacher McManus. I made an F in Bible college in the class. I still have the textbook in our home office as a reminder to me that without him, I can do nothing. Because in the natural, I made an F teaching Bible. My life is all about teaching Bible. But I live with me and I know I can't teach Bible without the Holy Spirit empowering me to teach Bible. I can't teach it. I can't live it. I can't be it. And we can't teach it. We can't preach it. And we can't live it without the Spirit of God. It cannot be done. Now I'm going to close with this and I'm over time. Let me say this though. I'll pick this up here, Lord willing, next week. If not next week, in one of the weeks coming. All right, Lord willing. Do you remember, and I'm going to close with this, but I want you to catch this. It's an amazing point because Satan is an imitator. And he's always trying to copy God. So stay with me. This is a gold nugget. If you're going to be glad you got it. It's like bonus material at the end of something. So stay with me. Do you remember reading of the Bible about a man who had an unclean spirit? And how that when the unclean spirit was gone out of that man, that unclean spirit would go find 7 more wicked spirits, more evil than himself, to re-enter that man. So that man's condition would be 7 times worse than what it was. Satan is an imitator. Satan's will is to fill you with 7 evil spirits. Where did he get such an idea? Where would he get such an idea? I want to fill you with 7 evil spirits. He's not a creator. He's an imitator. He's imitating God, whose will is to fill you with 7 righteous spirits. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it's time for you and I to walk in those 7 anointings that have been made available to you. And I'm going to pray that we receive that right now. Every head bow. Father, we thank you. Father, thank you for the ministry of your word. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you that every born-again believer under the sound of my voice possesses your spirit, that you live in us and you move in us. Your spirit cries out of our heart and says, Abba, Father. We thank you that by your spirit we are born again. Father, I praise you that there is an anointing, 7 anointings, available for our life. Father, I pray that when we leave here tonight, we would be turned into another man. That the things we've not been able to do, the burdens we've not been able to remove, the yokes we've not been able to destroy, would be both removed and destroyed by your anointing. God, our limitations, our inabilities, our failures, our infirmities, the will to do good, but the power to achieve it that we've lacked, may it come upon us tonight, God. That desire to pray more, that desire to honor you more, that desire to witness to our coworker. God, I pray tonight by your Holy Spirit that you would anoint us with your spirit, with your wisdom, your counsel, your knowledge, your fear, your strength. Every head bow. If you're here or you're watching live and you've never received Jesus, that's where it starts. He came to give you life and he came to give it to you more abundantly. Outside of eternal life in heaven, Jesus wants you to live an abundant life right now. The counsel to resolve conflict in your own marriage. The counsel to resolve that issue with your teenager and you don't know the answer. Counsel. There's an anointing of counsel. And he's ready to equip you. But that anointing can't come on you when you don't know the anointed one, Jesus. I'm going to invite all of you to pray this prayer with me to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Our altar ministers are coming forward. If you want to come forward, you need to come forward either before, during, or after this prayer. We welcome you to this invitation. I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you're watching live, pray this prayer with us to receive Jesus. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned. I believe you love me still, and you died for me. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I receive the Holy Spirit, your Spirit in me, and I ask that you anoint me with your burden removing, yoke destroying power, that it may be evident to those around me that Christ lives in me. May you be glorified in and through my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.